Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Our guest right now is Michael Caputo. He was a campaign advisor for Donald Trump. He also was a campaign advisor for Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. We're going to talk about the Brett Kavanaugh story on this portion of Vocal Point. Mr. Caputo, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Jerry. Appreciate it.
All right. Now, the story is so amazing because there was really a serious attempt to assassinate the character of Brett Kavanaugh. Frankly, one can't help but wonder if that's ultimately because of his conservative views.
Well, I think that's initially why. I mean, it's a remarkable difference between what they did to Neil Gorsuch and what they're doing to Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Very different. And, you know, the origin of it is, you know, the president initially, and those of us who have been with the president for many years, we wanted Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who is more of a reflexive conservative, kind of a culture warrior, and I think the president wanted her a bit more. But the Republican establishment leaders, you know, who are in kind of the Trump coalition, you know, the Mitch McConnells, the Bush folks, they said, no, let's go with Brett Kavanaugh because this is the Kennedy seat, which is viewed by many as some kind of a, you know, swing vote on important cultural issues and such. And, you know, if you would appoint some kind of reflexive conservative like Barrett, you're going to get war. So let's go with Kavanaugh, and we'll get another layup like Gorsuch. And boy, oh boy, they sure were wrong, weren't they?
Yeah, they absolutely were. It's interesting, too, just to look at the culture at large. For example, Hollywood, they're all bought the story of Kavanaugh's accuser as if he absolutely was guilty despite lack of corroboration. But let me just give one example. Matt Damon portrayed Brett Kavanaugh on a Saturday Night Live skit in satire and, you know, was making fun of him and, you know, the reactions, the emotional reactions that Kavanaugh had, which, you know, that's very difficult. And yet just a year ago, Matt Damon said this, you know, he was asked, what would you do if you had to deal with a false sexual accusation against you? Here's what he said. It would be scorched earth. You're not taking my name and reputation from me. I've worked too hard for it and I earned it and you can't just blow me up like that. End of quote from Matt Damon. Your thoughts?
Well, he said he'd spend $20 million in 20 years to defeat any kind of accusation. And that's Matt Damon, who was, you know, really big friends with Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this guy, that, you know, that quote from that interview a year ago was a much better imitation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh than the one he gave on Saturday Night Live. It's outrageously hypocritical. Especially, let me tell you this, Judge Kavanaugh, who, while he was in Yale, no matter what you hear about the drinking and the partying, which is all overblown and exaggerated for effect, he studied remarkably hard. He was at the top of his class. His legal and judicial career has been stellar, at the top of any estimation of any legal career. You know, meanwhile, Matt Damon, what's he done? Been in a few movies. That's nice. Good for him. You know, but at the same time, these people in the, especially in the Senate Judiciary Committee and the thousands of leftist activists out there, they have called him, Judge Kavanaugh, a rapist. They've called him a drunk. They've called him a liar. They've called him every name under the sun. They've threatened his children. They've made fun of his daughter saying prayers. They've death threats against his wife. They'll go to any lengths at all to seize power, to gain success. And we ought to understand, all of us, all of your listeners need to know that this is all about impeachment. This is a dress rehearsal for the impeachment of the President of the United States. They thought if they did this, they would enliven their base and bring the blue wave on the House of Representatives, and it's backfiring.
It does seem to be backfiring, and yet there's still reports that supposedly say, well, the Democrats may yet get the House and also even possibly the Senate.
Yeah, I hear them too. And then you see the National Public Radio poll, which came out today, done by Marist Polling, which is by no means a Republican pollster, saying that the 14-point lead that was held by Democrats and the enthusiasm that the Democrats had over the Republicans has completely evaporated since the Kavanaugh debacle. It's backfiring completely. But I don't trust that. I believe, because of tradition, you know how the sitting president usually loses control of one or both of the houses in the off midterm election because, you know, Donald Trump's name is not going to be on the ballot. So all the people that the pollsters missed when they were predicting a landslide victory for Hillary Clinton, the people who came out and surprised everyone, they weren't going to come out because the president's name was not on the ballot. The Kavanaugh thing has turned that around a bit, but not enough, not enough at all. I'm telling you, it's still a problem. If Republicans don't come out on November 6th and vote for Republican incumbents to the House of Representatives, Jerry, we are going to lose the House to the Democrats, and the president will be impeached in the first quarter of 2019, probably for jaywalking or something. And then what you saw in the last 3 weeks, the screaming, the ranting, the raving, the absolute destruction of a good man and his family, that's going to be every day of our life as soon as the House is sworn in.
So there's a possibility that the Kavanaugh story and the way it played out, and I think it'd be fair to say that you were kind of implying, or I'm inferring, that the Democrats overplayed their hand in this particular story. In fact, let me just ask you that way. Did the Democrats overplay their hand in the Kavanaugh case?
Oh, they definitely did. They thought this was actually going to turn their numbers out more and that it would depress Republicans who were on the fence about how effective Donald Trump is and whether or not they should even come out. You know, some of those deplorable voters who came out only because it was Donald Trump, the billionaire businessman who they knew from his national television show and so many books. They didn't think they would come out because the president is not on the ballot. You know, that's tradition. That goes back generations, that people who voted for the president don't come out in the midterm election and the president loses control of one or both houses. They thought, as the Democrats, they thought that their strategy of destroying Brett Kavanaugh and painting him as a rapist and a drunk and a liar, that it would depress the deplorable vote turnout. I think it's absolutely come back on him. I think it's backfired completely. They think so too, but I don't think it's enough. If your listeners are planning on staying home on Election Day, this is going to be every day of our life next year, and the president will be impeached before springtime. Remember that. Before springtime, the president of the United States will be impeached if the Democrats take over the House of Representatives. If you weren't planning on coming out, you better. And if you're going to be traveling, you better get an absentee ballot, because if not, all this screaming and ranting and raving, it's gonna take over the House of Representatives completely.
Wow, it'll be like the new normal, and that's so awful. Now, this is interesting. When Donald Trump was speaking at a rally earlier this week, and by the way, just to timestamp this discussion, we are talking right now on October 4th in the afternoon, 2018, and so this is Thursday, and I just say that because the story is a bit volatile. That is the whole Kavanaugh story. And so anyway, on earlier this week, Donald Trump questioned some of the credibility of Dr. Ford. You know, well, she didn't remember this and she didn't remember that. And he wasn't, you know, making fun of her, but there were different people that said, oh, he mocked her. And I thought that was crazy. You know, if he had tried to imitate her voice or something like that, that would be mocking. But instead, it was more like, you know, wait a minute, where's the credibility to this accusation, which is a very serious accusation?
Well, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said in the next day's press conference at the White House that he was reciting facts. And yes, he was. He was reciting facts. You know, I'm not quite sure if he was being lawyerly about it. I mean, I don't think a lawyer would deliver the lines like he did. You know, can you imagine Atticus Finch, you know, in front of the jury delivering the lines like the president did? But we know President Trump. People, the same people wringing their hands over this, you know, minute-long delivery by the president, they've seen the president when he wants to mock somebody. They've seen him once when he wants to ridicule somebody. They've seen him when they want when he wants to destroy somebody. They've seen him once when he wants to disrespect somebody. All those words they use to describe the president rather emotionlessly describing the facts of the case. Now, I don't think it's helpful when the president inserts himself into a situation like this because Christine Blasey Ford's story was already coming apart at the seams. Her ex-boyfriend under penalty of perjury saying that she was helping her friend understand how to beat a lie detector, etc. All these things that she said under oath were coming apart without the president's help. Bringing that up in a rally, you know, a very highly political rally, probably wasn't a big help for us. But was he mocking? Of course he wasn't. We know what it sounds like when he's mocking. That wasn't it.
69% of voters believe that Kavanaugh's confirmation process was a quote-unquote national disgrace. And, you know, while somebody might say, well, it was both sides of the aisle because they want to sound bipartisan or whatever, honestly, that's not the case.
No,
I mean, what was Senator Feinstein doing holding onto that letter from July 30th until the last minute?
What was she doing recommending an attorney to Christine Ford? What was she doing? This is outrageous. I mean, look at Sheila Jackson Lee, the congresswoman who attended those hearings. You saw her at the end talking to Christine Ford's attorneys. You know, apparently yesterday, the Capitol Police are pressing charges against a member of her staff who posted the personal contact information, including the home address and telephone numbers of key senators on the Senate Judiciary Committee. They're crazy. They're out of their mind. Now, they're saying, well, this guy wasn't doing, you know, he was, you know, this staff member from Jackson Lee's office was out of line and he got fired. Jerry, he was doing what he was told to do. And you know that. These people are just absolutely unhinged. And it's going to continue. Listen, when he is confirmed, it's my prediction that there will be protests that will turn violent. And you can bet the people with the black masks and the black outfits are going to crawl out of their mommy's basement and get away from their little gaming consoles and come out and try and start fights and burn down bank machines. It's going to happen. You know it is. And we got to get used to it, because if we sit back and we don't vote and the Democrats take the House, that's how we're going to be living next year.
You know, that's so interesting when you say this, because you think about the day after President Trump was inaugurated, there were protests in the streets and destruction of property. And, you know, Madonna said, we got to burn down the house, the White House, that is. I mean, it's just like, this is crazy. But these things haven't fully stopped, have they, these protests?
No, they haven't. We haven't seen anything yet, if you ask me. Mm. And we know that, for example, groups like MoveOn.org, they have already organized through social media and other efforts and paid for massive protests in 11 cities if Donald Trump or the White House in any way, shape, or form ends the Mueller investigation. If Mueller, for example, is fired maybe the firing of other members of the Department of Justice first. You know, and those protests, on my understanding, is that those are supposed to turn violent if necessary. So if MoveOn.org is that well prepared for the, you know, still, it's kind of outlandish to think that the president would fire Director Mueller, then how organized are they for this? Because they're, you know, we're looking at the news as it comes out today, and we see more and more wavering senators saying they're satisfied with the FBI report. It looks like Judge Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed. So what are organizations like MoveOn.org doing after that's over? If they're willing to riot after the president, quote, you know, in the fantasy that the president is going to fire Director Mueller, what are they going to do with the certainty of Judge Kavanaugh being confirmed? I'm watching it, and I think people around the country should be concerned.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us at Michael R. Caputo, CAPUTO. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, great. Bye-bye.